Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 47 degrees in sunshine. Today's Thursday, July 12th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. As of July 1st of this year, public health centers across Alaska are charging fees for their services. The system for over two decades has had a sliding fee scale for adult clients. Now, for the first time, children are included for services like well-child exams and immunizations. The Division of Public Health views the new fees as a way to ensure the sustainability of the centers. Others worry that people will forego care. Media outlets around the state received public service messages about the new fees early in the summer, but not much other information. Rhonda Richmeyer, the Chief of Public Health Nursing for the state, says the new fees have been in the works for a while and are part of a national trend.
Most states are a lot farther down the road than we are in starting to charge for services because they have been more financially stressed.
Alaska is not, by a long shot, financially stressed, but that doesn't mean it will always be that way. Richmeyer says the Division of Public Health is planning for the day when it will have to be more sustainable. Even now, cuts to the federal children's vaccination program have put pressure on public health. Richmeyer says the division is taking the long view.
What we're trying to do is protect the activities and the services that public health has been able to provide over the years. The services are of value, and for a lot of folks, there are third-party payers available, whether that's Medicaid or private insurance, or they have the financial ability to pay at least something.
Fees will be charged on a sliding scale based on family income. The rates for services will be determined by the amount Medicaid typically reimburses providers for those services. At the Public Health Center in Sitka, a new patient will pay $53 for a brief visit. An established patient will pay $25. For a more comprehensive visit, the charges go up to $93 for a new patient and $53 for established patients. For vaccinations only, a first visit is $28. All subsequent visits are $15. The Public Health Service has had fees in place for adult services since 1986. The new policy brings in children for the first time and sounds like it shouldn't be much additional work. The one hiccup in the plan is this: public health has no billing department and no billing procedure. Richmeyer says the division is working on it.
You might imagine there are a lot of things to be put in place before any entity can start doing that, but that is the goal. And so while the division is working on the administrative pieces of doing that, at the local health center level, we're looking at trying to start changing process and practices to be in line with that.
Whether or not patients actually get a bill, the new fee schedule is probably posted somewhere inside the door of your public health center. Will people no longer come in for sexually transmitted or other communicable disease screenings or pass on a $53 well-child exam? Everyone I spoke to regarding this story stressed that Alaska public health centers will turn no one away, but
it's very hard to find out if you're serving folks when they're not coming in.
Jennifer Meyer is the outgoing president of the Alaska Public Health Association.
Public health technically is a service of the last resort. If you don't have any other choice, that's why public health is there.
Meyer was a public health nurse in Bethel. She now teaches allied health at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Meyer says, and so did Sitka's local nurse when I asked her, that public health wants to help people establish relationships with primary care providers where they're available. She doesn't think that by charging fees, public health is necessarily dipping into the same financial well as primary care.
When you get primary care and public health competing for the same resources, it doesn't end well because nobody's looking upstream at those root causes of illness and injury and morbidity and mortality, those types of things, because we're all busy trying to provide health care. When primary care is designed to do that, those individual services, and public health is designed to look at population health issues.
Meyer has not seen any policy rationale for the new fees, and her executive board has not had a chance to review anything. She believes the fees are exactly what Richmeyer says, another way to help make ends meet.
In public health, we're always sort of worried about the budget. We're always trying to do as much as we can with less and less.
Meyer thinks that learning whether or not the fees deter patients will take some time. That view is shared by Peggy Wilson, who represents Sitka in the state legislature. Wilson is also a nurse, she told me on her cell phone just as flight attendants were about to close the cabin doors on the ramp in Ketchikan, that she's concerned about the fees, about their effect on the working poor and people in minimum wage jobs with no benefits. She thought that even with a sliding scale, just knowing human nature, some people would not seek care. Rhonda Richmeyer, the chief of public health nursing, says there will be bumps along the way as centers and patients adjust, but that the new fees will not prevent care from taking place.
Hopefully it should not be a barrier because it's based on what you can pay, and if you say, I just don't have the money to pay it, we're not going to deny you services. We're not going to deny your child services.
One upside, Richmeyer says that the Affordable Care Act, recently upheld by the Supreme Court, will mean far fewer people lacking the means to afford care.
A Southeast Hatchery chum salmon run, important to the region's purse seine fleet, has had a better start than last year's failed run. Catches are on track to meet the forecast for Hidden Falls chum salmon on Baranoff Island. Joe Vicnicki reports.
Hidden Falls is run by the Sitka-based Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, or NSARA. Steve Reifenstuhl is the general manager for the private nonprofit.
It's looking like it's about on schedule for our forecast of 800,000 return.
In the second week of July, the seine fleet's harvest of Hidden Falls chums hit 290,000, nearly as many as last year's season total. Reifenstuhl eventually wants to see a much bigger run return.
Well, compared to last year, almost anything is good news. So, you know, a forecast of 800,000 is not great for Hidden Falls. I'd like to see runs of, you know, 1.5 million or better. You know, our average in the 25-year history is closer to 2 million return. So that's where we're hoping to get it back to after some changes we've made in our strategy for release.
Hatchery managers blamed last year's poor return on humpback whales eating the juvenile chum salmon as they're released into Chatham Strait. And NSARA has taken steps to make it more difficult for whales to concentrate on the Hidden Falls chum releases each year. The association is also looking into releasing a little bit larger young salmon to see if that improves the survival rate. That strategy includes a new cooperative project with the Gunnett Creek Hatchery in Cake.
So we're taking an extra 10 million eggs at Hidden Falls, and we will incubate those eggs and hold the fry until spring, and then we'll transport the fry to Gunnett Creek, or I should say Southeast Cove near Cake, and our crew and our equipment will rear those fish to 4.0 grams and we'll release them. We're planning on doing that for 5 years to test that.
The first releases under that program will be next year, with the first adult fish returning in 2015. This year is also the first year for a 20% tax assessment on the commercial catch at Hidden Falls. Money from that tax will fund the operations of the hatchery instead of the proceeds from cost recovery fishing. That's when a small number of boats is contracted to catch the fish, with fishing time separate from the rest of the fleet. Reifenstuhl says the new assessment has made the fishery easier to manage this year.
Don't have to worry about shutting down or hiring boats for cost recovery. That's all done through the tax assessment, and that's why the fishermen wanted it, was so they'd have more openings, and indeed that's what's happened. We've had a Sunday and a midweek every week since we opened July or June 17th.
Another midweek Thursday opening was planned for the seine fleet in the third week in July at Hidden Falls. After that, there may be closures around the hatchery as NSARA plans to start collecting the 150,000 broodstock fish needed to produce future generations. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
A federal funding program key to Southeast school districts will remain in place for another year. An extension of the Secure Rural Schools program is part of a recently passed transportation bill. The program has been a mainstay for districts in or near national forests in and outside of Alaska. The program means more than $1.2 million for Sitka. That money comes to the city. About 15% comes off the top to fund special projects on federal land. The rest is traditionally split 50-50 with the school district. Sitka School's business manager Dave Arp says the funding is critical to the district. Much of the school board's budget discussion last spring centered on filling the gap left by the money's absence. That conversation likely would have been much different and perhaps easier if school officials had known the money was on the way. Senator Lisa Murkowski says the extension is only good for 1 year. She had hoped for more.
The bad news is that there's no glide path. What we were working on was a proposal that would allow for a 4 to 5 year kind of phase down, just kind of working it down to a point that was manageable, because right now there is no certainty after this year.
Alaska got more than $15 million for schools, roads, and some other projects from the program earlier this year. Murkowski says the next allocation will be 5% less. She says chances for a longer extension could improve next year. That's because the Energy and Natural Resources Committee comes up with the Senate's funding plan for the program. Murkowski will be the panel's ranking Republican member, and Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, who also supports the program, will be the ranking Democratic member.
So either he or I will be the chairman of the Energy Committee next year, depending on what happens with the majorities. So we've talked about this, about how we can work for a little more certainty to this program.
Without the extension, the program will revert to a formula that provides far less funding. Also benefiting from the extension are Pelican, Port Alexander, Tenneke Springs, Yakutat, Cake, and Angoon. You can see how much money each community is receiving on our website, kcaw.org. So in weather today, for Sitka, calls for increasing clouds, patchy fog this morning, slight chance of rain this afternoon, highs 58 to 64. This is Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.